Dear congregation, our focus for this evening will be on the portion as read from Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. And we all know that life can be busy. And sometimes it can feel like we're just stuck living our little life in our little corner of the world, doing our own little thing. And sometimes it can feel like we are forgotten. We wonder, are we of any use to God? Or does God even remember that we are here? Sometimes we can feel so distant or separated from any useful or any participation, you could say, in kingdom work, in the work for God in this world. And it seems like we have no time, we have no opportunities because we're so busy doing our own little work in our families or wherever it may be. But as we'll see here in this passage this evening, the angels here came and brought a message of glad tidings to the shepherds as they worked, as they went about their daily duties in their little corner of their country. And this is a message that comes to each one of us, a message that we are to hear in our little corner, in our little life. And it's a message that we take with us, not only for ourselves, but also for all those who we meet, wherever the Lord brings us. And so we want to look at this passage this evening with the theme of glad tidings brought to the shepherds. And as we do so, we begin looking here at verse 8, where we see where the shepherds were. And it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night." And so you can picture those shepherds there out in the field at night, likely taking turns, some of them sleeping, some of them watching, and making sure there's no predators or no thieves. Now, it doesn't seem like a very exciting job, not a job with very much recognition or reward, but it was a necessary job. It was an important job. And for them, the sheep were their livelihood, and if they neglected them, they would also neglect their own means of survival. And here they are in a field near Bethlehem, it says, in the same country. And again, if we think of our life, where the Lord has placed us, where we live, and where we work in that same vicinity, where every day we meet and face the same ordinary duties, some which can seem monotonous or even dreary, some can seem like the long hours of watching or waiting, and yet these are all necessary. You can think of the mothers in the home, caring for the children, day after day, night after night, always on guard, always watching, always leading them just like shepherds would lead the sheep. And so it might become discouraging, or they might question the purpose of their life. Is this all there is to my life? Is this all that God has for me? Does God see me here? Am I doing anything useful for him or for anyone in this life? Everything can seem so quiet in these long hours of the night. But now for these shepherds, everything suddenly changes. It says, "Behold, look," or in verse 9, "Lo, and the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid." That cool, dark night was suddenly lit up with the light as an angel stood before them in the brilliance of God's glory. And even us, when someone sneaks up to us, especially in the dark, they can give us quite a scare. And you can imagine these shepherds here quietly peering out into the darkness to see if there's any predator sneaking up. And suddenly an angel is standing in front of them in a bright, shining light. And it says they were greatly afraid. They feared with a great fear, it says. But the angel also quickly comes to calm them down. In verse 10 he says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." He calms them down and he says, "We have come with an announcement for you. We have come with to evangelize you with good news, with good tidings of that will bring great joy." And so then what is that message? Well, verse 11, "For unto you is born a Savior." A Savior. Who is this Savior? Well, the angels go on to say, which is Christ the Lord. This is the Savior who Isaiah has prophesied about, saying, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given." This is a Savior who has promised to deliver his people from their sins. This is Christ, who is the long awaited Messiah, the long promised Messiah. This is a Savior who all the prophets have been speaking about. This is a Savior who all the sacrifices have been pointing to. You can imagine these shepherds as they hear this, and they might wonder, what does this then mean? Already overcome with fear and wonder at the angels and the message. And then, if this wasn't enough, then suddenly there's a host of angels in the heavens, it said in verse 13. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." What does it all mean? Well, the angels had sung the answer to them. They had given them the very answer in that song where all the angels were singing. And first of all, it means glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Glory to God because salvation is of the Lord. Glory to God because he sent his Son into the world, into a world that was not looking for him. But then secondly, the angel said, on earth, peace. Peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior. And that's our problem, isn't it? Because without God, we have no peace. These shepherds had to watch their flocks at night because there was no peace. There were lions, there were bears, there were thieves, all seeking to devour their sheep. And God's word tells us, doesn't it, that Satan goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. No peace apart from God. No peace in our own soul. No peace because we have sinned and our sin has robbed us of that life with God. No peace because we have guilt. We know that we need and deserve God's judgment and punishment upon our sins. But now here, the angels say there's peace. Peace on earth. Peace through this Savior. And that's because, as Isaiah also said, the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. Here is a Savior who would take this wrath and judgment of God against our sin to bring peace. That means that this Savior took the wrath of God instead of his people. That this Savior made peace with God by giving his own life as a ransom for sinners. There's peace because through this Savior, the wrath of God has been turned away. And that means that God's favor is then restored in Christ. That is true peace. And that alone can give peace. And that's what the angels sang, thirdly, their goodwill towards men. There is peace only because of that goodwill, that good favor of God that shines down on his people through Jesus Christ. And that goodwill comes only because of God's eternal good pleasure that He has determined to save a people through this Savior. He has been pleased to give His Son as that ransom for sin, as that Savior to give peace into this world. And it's through Him that His favor, His good pleasure is now turned toward us. And this is a peace then, that with God that produces peace on earth. When God gives peace into conscience, it's because He washes away that guilt. It's because He turns away His anger from us. Because it has been cleared in the Lord Jesus Christ. This brings peace on earth. Because when there's Christians who are able to live and walk alongside each other in the same faith and the same Lord, whereas before they were at war, as at enmity with each other. As you can see so often where different cultures, different countries who used to live fighting one another are brought in peace with one another through faith in Christ. But this is a peace also that is a foretaste of that eternal peace in heaven. Where again, as Isaiah says, where the lion and the lamb will lie down together. You wonder what the shepherds thought of this message. As they heard that message and as they heard the angels singing, did they remember those Old Testament prophecies? Did they remember and think of what all these sacrifices pointed to? And as we hear it today, as we read it, what does this mean to us? Well, these angels, they didn't stop there. But they also told them that there was a sign in verse 12. It says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." What did this sign show the shepherds? If you think of who these shepherds were, working out in the field. And now if you look at this sign, he says, "You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." Those are just ordinary, plain clothes. Maybe not much different what the shepherds wore. Just plain, ordinary clothing. Lying in a manger. Now this is something that they can relate to. This is something familiar to them. A manger is a place where they would feed their sheep. This is a place where they would come to often. This is something that they know. And so what does this sign show them? It shows these shepherds that this is a Savior that is within reach. This is a Savior that has come down to where they are. If you think of the priests and the Levites, if the sign was given to them, would they go into the stable? Or would they feel uncomfortable and say, "Well, I can't go in there, that'll make my clothes dirty"? The Pharisees and the priests and the Levites were not supposed to get dirty. And if they go into the stable, they would. And the shepherds, if they were invited to a Pharisee's banquet, they wouldn't feel comfortable there. That's not where they belong, that's too fancy for them. But here in a manger, this is where they work. This is where they live. And this is where the Savior meets them. What a sign. How accessible the Savior made Himself to these shepherds. What a wonderful and a perfectly suited gift that God the Father has given. Christ has come to be a substitute for sinners. He has come to take their place. And He did that beginning in the womb of Mary and being born. Being born from an ordinary woman in a little unknown town and then laid in a little manger with ordinary clothes. laid in a place where even these ordinary shepherds could come and see the Savior. What does it show us? It shows us that the Lord Jesus Christ has come down to you and to me, to a place where He is accessible, to a level that we are familiar with. And still some people might say, well, who is He for? Isn't this what we need as well? We need a Savior to meet us in our circumstances. We need a Savior that is accessible to us, to our condition. Can we find Him? These shepherds, they probably felt left out of the religious crowd. We know that they were often despised. In Egypt they were, and the Pharisees despised shepherds. They were often seen as unreliable and as thieves. But Jesus shows how He has come even to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it's like He begins at the very bottom, at the very most basic place. And then in verse 11, these angels, they proclaimed to them, and they said, "For unto you is born a Savior." They didn't come to the shepherds and say, "A Savior's been born for the Pharisees because they are religious." He didn't say, "A Savior has come because they're better than you," for them. But no, "For unto you is born a Savior." A Savior has been born for you. But at the same time, He says, this message will be for all people. For all people of every nation. And so this is a message that just not only comes to the shepherds, but it shows them that this message includes them as well as every other person in this world. This is a message that comes to all who hear, and none are left out. It's a gift that comes from God. It's a gift that was motivated from the good pleasure and the love of God. It is a gift that is produced by God. It is a peace that comes from God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a gift that has nothing to do with who we are or what we do or can do. But it's a gift that comes from God. Christ made peace. And so this means this is also a message for you. A message for us. In verse 11, "For unto you is born this day a Savior." This is a message that comes to us today in His Word. It came to the shepherds in word form. When the shepherd says, or when the angels told them that they bring you good tidings of great joy, they came and brought tidings with their word. And they sang of what that was. And we have His word. We have the same message recorded for us. Even though the shepherds had that message accompanied by the angels, and they could see and witness the birth of the Lord Jesus, it was the message in word form that they heard. And so we also don't need to go to a temple or an idol or a stable. But know it comes to us through the word of God. And this means that this message, it reaches us wherever we are. It reaches us at our work. It reaches us in our home. It reaches those who are in prison. It reaches us during the long hours of the night when we cannot sleep. It comes to us who are laid up at home sick. It comes to us when we have to leave home and travel for work for weeks on end. Can we see the wisdom and the wonder of God in giving this gift, this message, in this way? They said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." To the shepherds lonely in the fields, to the mothers at home, to the fathers at work, and wherever you might be, in school, What a message that is. May we also see the effect of this message. We see the effect that this message had on the shepherds. And we also need to see what effect this message has on us. Because the chorus of angels here, the heavenly host, praised God for that news. He said it was literally an army of angels praising and glorifying God in the heavens. They were glorifying God for something that they themselves do not benefit from. Fallen angels cannot be saved. And yet they peer in on this wonder for what God has done in Christ for sinners. And they sing of that wonder and of that glory. So what effect does it have on these shepherds? Well, first, this message, it awakens a desire in the souls of the shepherds. A desire to see the Savior. A desire to see what these angels have been speaking about. And so when these angels return to heaven, and these shepherds are again standing there in the darkness of the night with their sheep, it says in verse 15, as the angels are gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." They believe. They believe the word that is so special, so unbelievable in a way. But they believe the word of God. And they need to go see for themselves what this is that the angels have told them. To go see this thing. And that means to see this event, to see this word that has now come to pass. And so this message of the angels has become a real event. Jesus was born. And they need to see this for themselves. And so it is that when you hear about the Lord Jesus, you cannot be content at just leaving it there. Hearing about the Lord Jesus is not enough. But you need to find him for yourself. And that is what faith does. It sets off seeking for the Lord Jesus Christ. It sets off seeking for the truth of the word. There is a promise given. There is a fulfillment of the promise in the Lord Jesus. But that promise also needs to become mine in my soul. That peace on earth needs to become peace in my heart and in my conscience. I need that peace. I need that Savior. And here is where that, or hearing that message, that there is a Savior for you, awakens that desire in your soul that you cannot rest until you find him for yourself. Has that been the effect for you when you hear his word week after week and day after day? Have you gone to find him? Because then we see, secondly, that the shepherds go. It says even with haste. Let us go now even unto Bethlehem. And they came with haste in verse 16. It does not say anything about what the shepherds were doing before the angels came. It doesn't tell us if they were singing psalms in the fields like David did, if they were daily searching the scriptures and looking for the Savior. It doesn't tell us if they had neglected religion altogether or if they had no interest in it, thinking that they were not good enough. But all we know is that once they heard this message, once they heard that Christ had come to bring peace on earth, they needed it. And they set off and they went with haste. They heard this message, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." They could no longer stay where they were, but they needed to find the Savior. Is this the effect it had on you as well? That you need to find him. You go with haste. You go to his word and you go to your room and you go to him in prayer. See, then it doesn't matter if it's the middle of the night Or if it's the middle of your work day, but your heart goes out to God, you're seeking Him, crying out for Him, but you will make time. The shepherds, they even left their sheep before they had been so diligently guarding them and watching over them. And now they seem to be able to leave that in the care of God and go see what God has showed them. And that's also if this becomes a matter of your heart. This is number one priority, that you need God, that you need His peace, that you need the Savior. Now, we're not supposed to neglect our daily duties or walk away from our work, but then it becomes a matter of the heart. Is that your priority? Is that your desire? Is that your need? Because then thirdly, we see that you will also find God. Jesus said, didn't He, that if we seek Him, we shall find Him? In Luke 11, verse 9. Because the shepherds here, they come to Bethlehem. And in verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. When you seek Him, boys and girls, this Savior will be found. He says, those who seek Me early shall find Me. Here's a Savior that you'll find accessible. Here's a Savior you'll find so suited to your needs. A Savior that has come down to meet you where you are, to deliver you from your sin. Have you found Him? Have you gone out to seek Him? Because if not, He is still there and you need to go even now. Waiting not a moment longer, but going to Him until you find Him. He doesn't tell us what Joseph and Mary and the shepherds spoke about. But it must have been overwhelming for them to hear that message and then to see the Savior born in Bethlehem. Hear their Savior lying in a manger. Lying in the manger that they have seen so often as they fed their sheep. But now here is Christ the Lord. And although we don't see Him physically, we can see Him in His Word as His Holy Spirit shows Christ to our soul. And maybe we've been to His Word so often, but then one day the Holy Spirit opens your eyes and His Word is like a new word. You've come to this manger so often, but now it's special. There's something new. You catch a glimpse of the Savior that is born for me. Here's a Savior that ascends from heaven to even a despised shepherd like me. Here's a Savior who came for me before I even was looking for Him. Aren't those precious moments for the soul? Moments where you can say you have found Him who your soul delighted in. Do you remember when you first saw Him? When you first saw your need for Jesus? When you first saw Him as the only suitable Savior for your soul? The hour that you first believed? When you seen Him who saved you from your sins, from the power of your sins? When He delivers you from the power and even the presence of your sin? Have you found Him? Because if you have, then the shepherds also show what they do. We see fourthly then in verse 17. It says that when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Do we notice that? They went and spread this message. They made known far and wide this message to everyone who would listen, it seems, that Christ the Savior has been born, that there is on earth peace and goodwill towards men. They have come and told them that there's glad tidings given. And they understand what the angel said, that this is a message for all people, not just for them. It's not a message to hold back from anybody else. But it's a message that began with them. And they know that if the Savior came from them, the Savior can come for anyone. If the Savior can come for us, the Savior can save anyone. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where we've come from, what you've done, or how it was in your life before. But once you hear this message, this Savior has come to bring you this news, that He has brought peace on this earth, that there is deliverance from your sins with Him, that He is the Savior, and that we are to go to Him today. And if you have found Him, then this is also your desire, to go and tell it to the world, to go to tell it to all the people, to make it widely known. Is that what you do? Is that the evidence and the effect of this salvation in your heart? Having found this gift that God has brought into this world, does it fill you with that overwhelming sense of gratitude and joy? Gratitude to God for that unspeakable gift, that even we can be saved. Now, this is not a message that we can keep to ourselves anymore. It's not something that we have earned ourselves. But it's God's good pleasure and God's good will. And it's a peace with God through Jesus Christ. And this is what this world needs to hear today. This is what this world needs to hear. This is what your family and your friends and your co-workers and your neighbors need to hear. Will you withhold it from them? Because the angels came and said, this is a message to all people. And maybe you are the messenger now to take the place of that angel. Maybe you're the one who God wants to send to go tell your neighbor, to the one who may be sitting in the dark hours of the night, keeping watch, working, caring for their family, those who do not know that there is peace with God. Can you tell them glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill towards men? Is that what you do? Do you bring this message and make it known? Because we see also that not everybody does. His message does not have the same effect on everyone. Even though the message comes so clear and so wonderful, there's a mixed reception. In verse 18 it says, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But it doesn't say anything more. And it's God who must give the increase. It's Paul who plants and Apollos who waters, and God who gives the increase. But this message must come, because its faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it says, all these people wondered, they marveled. And when the Lord Jesus was walking on this earth, the same thing happened. People wondered and they marveled, but they left off following Christ. Did these people find Jesus? Because we also need to realize that hearing God's word never leaves us unchanged. It can't leave us neutral. Either we hear this message and see and believe that peace on earth can only come through Jesus Christ, or we hear this message and think we don't need it. So the one draws you closer to God, while the other will drive you further away from God. The one will soften your heart and increase your desire, and the other will harden your heart and push you away. We cannot remain neutral. In Hebrews 4 verse 2 says, the gospel did not profit them because it was not received with faith. Do we believe this message? Because it's not enough to marvel at this news, that it's not enough to wonder how God came down through the Lord Jesus Christ to be born of a woman, to suffer and to die, and to be the substitute for sinners. That sinners can be forgiven, that peace can be made with God. But we must also believe and trust in Christ to save us from our sin. We must see that He is our only escape, our only peace with God, our only deliverance from eternal destruction. And so then, as it was with Mary in verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We also must keep this message in our heart, to think of these deep things of God, of how this is possible. These must become our life. This must become our peace. Because then, finally, we see in verse 20, then we can also return to our work, in our daily lives and our duties, with a new peace and a joy like the shepherds did in verse 20. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The shepherds returned after seeing the Lord Jesus Christ born in the manger, after hearing the angels sing of what happened. This was a message that had filled their heart and changed their life forever. It made their hearts and their mouths overflow with glorifying and praising God. They had found a new peace on earth through favor with God. And so now they could return to their work, but they had a new outlook. This is a night they would never forget. And you can probably see them as they return to the fields. Yes, they still had to go back there. They had to return to keep watch over the flocks by night. They still had to lodge in the fields. And they still had to protect them. And you as well. You have to go home to your families. You have to go back to your work. You have to go back to school. To back to your routine. But there's a new outlook. There's a new perspective. There's a new hope. You can have peace with God in the quiet hours, in the long hours of the day and night. You can have peace in the trying hours. Your nights can be even brighter. Even though we don't see the angels singing in the sky, you can sing with them, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Peace in my soul. Peace and goodwill towards men. This is a message that will never leave you. This is a message that will change how you see the moments of your day, where it seems like you're alone or it seems like you're just doing the same little thing. But God has come to you with this message. And whoever you can reach, your children, your family, your neighbors, this is a message that changes lives and hearts. And then you can sing, thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift. These truly are good tidings of great joy. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious and eternal Father, Thou who hast given such a great and undeserved gift in the Lord Jesus Christ, perfectly suited, perfectly accessible, perfectly made, providing peace on earth, peace in the souls of sinners, peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, who reconciled the world unto God. O Lord, we pray that we may live with this peace and this outlook, that wherever we are, this message may go with us, that whoever we may meet, this message may be spoken by us, and that this message may go across the world, to our nation, to our neighbors, to our leaders. O Lord, wilt Thou graciously bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearing, that we also may believe, that we may turn to Thee to seek this peace that passes all understanding. We ask that Thou remember this congregation. O Lord, that Thou go with them into this week, and that they may find Thee when they seek Thee, and that they may walk with Thee, and that they may sing These praises unto thy name, glory to God in the highest. And that they may sing with the angels, as though we cannot see them, that this may be our song in the night, that this may be on our hearts in the day. O Lord, that we may see that thou hast not only given us a purpose, but that thou hast come to us in our needs. And so we ask that thou bless them in their work and in their ways and in their homes this week, that thou would keep in safety and on the roads, and that thou would remember our nation, that thou would drive out the darkness, and that thou would cause the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to shine in upon the hearts and the lives of many, and that thou would speak to the hearts of many, do not fear, for I bring you tidings of great joy. So we ask all these things in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake alone.